In the passage before us today, in the book of Luke, chapter 12, Jesus taught us about the kingdom and about preparation for his return. One of the things that he tells us there basically is to kind of lighten those things that encumber you. And that has to do with, getting rid of all the excess. Live a life of simplicity. Don't get yourself so tied up to the things of this world and have so many encumbrances in this world that you can't be prepared to go into the next, or you can't be prepared to do God's works because you got all these things that are sort of tying you up. That's a lot of what he does in verses 32 through 34, where he talks about your treasure, your heart. Worldly possessions do indeed become an encumbrance, something that weighs us down, crowds out our desire for kingdom living. Remember the parable of the sower and the one seed that fell along the soil that had a lot of weeds, and the weeds grew up along with the good plants and choked it out. Those are the pleasures and the cares and anxieties even of this world. Our heart's desires, verse 34, really play a role in readiness and anticipation also, which is a lot of what Jesus is going to talk about in the next section. Readiness. A number of years ago, I read the story of the siege of Fort McHenry, where our Star Spangled Banner was written in the Baltimore Harbor where I grew up. And one of the interesting little sidelights in that particular siege was that it was raining extremely hard that night. And as the British sat a long way off and kept trying to shell and bring Fort McHenry under submission because they had to be able to get past the fort in order to get into the port of Baltimore, one of the things that the British did was, while it was raining hard, with visibility very low, you couldn't hear everything as well as you needed to, they sent a small detachment of Marines in several small rowboats. And they tried to kind of outflank Fort McHenry. They tried to land those troops along one of the sides. Along that side happened to be an individual and a sort of garrison of soldiers with a couple of cannons who were standing there kind of ready for that kind of thing. But the rain was pouring so hard he couldn't hear nor see very well at all. It just so happened he was faithful at his post. And even though he had trouble hearing, he thought that he heard the splash of oars in the water, which would indicate to him the British were trying to land some Marines. So he began firing his guns. Probably didn't hit anybody, but the Marines and the British realized that somebody was there. They were paying attention. They were ready. And just, you know, they said, well, we're not going to be able to make it. Even if we can get close, they're going to see us at some point, and they're ready for us. I doubt that he hit anybody as he fired all of his guns. But the fact is, he was ready. In spite of very, very difficult and trying circumstances, he remained at his post, and he was ready and anticipated. That's what Jesus is going to tell us when he says, stay dressed and keep the lights on. Interesting picture, is it not? Stay dressed and keep the lights on. I don't know about you, but one of the things I do every night is I actually kind of hang my clothes out that I'm going to wear the next day. I get things ready for the next day. So when I get up, when I'm usually a little tired and groggy, I don't have to sit there and figure out, okay, what am I going to put on? What am I going to get here? Where's this? Where's that? I don't have to go find all that. Root around in my drawer to get the right color socks, which I have trouble matching anyway. If I can't see, it's going to make it harder. So I get all that stuff out the night before, and I just lay it out there. I can get up, get my clothes on, and if I'm going to the gym, man, I'm out of there in a hurry. Or I get my little shake ready for myself, a milkshake ready to take with me so I have something to eat. I'm ready for the next day. That's kind of what Jesus is saying. Stay dressed. Or at least be prepared and keep the lights on. What was the picture that you get, or what is the picture that we get of the very first Passover meal? Remember, salvation and deliverance were right at hand for the Israelites. And in Exodus 12 and verse 11, they are told to be dressed and ready to travel. In fact, here's how it's described in Exodus chapter 12. And verse 11, it says, in this manner you shall eat it, with your belt fastened, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. You shall eat it in haste. That is the Lord's Passover. They're supposed to sit down to the meal kind of unrelaxed. You know, they couldn't take the shoes off. They had to have their belt on. They had to have their staff in it. Maybe even had to eat with just one hand. They had to be ready to go at any time. That's kind of the perfect picture, I think, of what Jesus is telling us here. Be ready, keep the lights on, and be dressed, ready for whatever you have to do. It is probably the most enduring image of anticipation and preparation that we have. You might even ask yourself, was it really humanly possible for them to get any sleep that night? Knowing what God was doing outside, knowing what God was wanting to do for them, that after 400 years of slavery, all of a sudden, the very next day, they were going to be set free. Now, they knew when it was going to happen, but the fact is, they still had to be prepared for it, and their anticipation of it was at a fever pitch. How do we stay dressed with the lights on? Do we literally stay dressed with the lights on, or is Jesus giving us some metaphor for how we should always be prepared, always be ready? I want to mention a couple of things and then just kind of show you what Jesus says in the next section about the picture of readiness. Well, first of all, I think one of the things that we need to do is to pray daily. That's readiness. There's no better way to keep yourself alert to spiritual matters than prayer daily. In fact, in the book of Ephesians, chapter 6 and verse 18, when Paul is describing the armor we're supposed to put on, listen to what he says. He says, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance. Paul associates prayer and alertness, prayer and readiness, prayer and anticipation. We have to pray daily. Even when it seems like we're not getting any results, we have to pray daily. We have to persist in it. A second thing we can do is to continue to love one another. Nothing indicates our communion with God more than if we love one another. Isn't that what Jesus says in John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35? How will people know that God is with us? If we love one another. The third thing is something we were talking about this morning, and that is humility. Humble yourselves before God. And I want you to notice how Peter also associates humbling ourselves with God with a kind of alertness and readiness. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 through 8, he says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Be sober-minded, be watchful. In the same breath where he talks about humbling ourselves before God, he says it's really important perhaps that you do that because maybe that's the way to be watchful. Maybe that's one of the ways that you can kind of keep in mind you got to be ready. And he will go on to talk about what Satan's trying to do during all that time. And I think a lot of what he says there does say a lot about how we must keep ready. If we at least do that much, I think we're on the right track to stay dressed and ready with the lights on. Well, I think he furthers what I'm trying to say here when he goes on to talk about be ready and anticipate. And he gives two examples here of anticipating. He gives us a picture of people who are waiting, men who are waiting, servants who are waiting for their master to return from a feast. You know, it's very interesting, isn't it, when you look at what professional athletes have to do to anticipate things. They study their opponents. In fact, football players, professional football players, they will get the tapes of previous games of their opponents. And they, for example, will watch a quarterback. The linebacker will watch what a quarterback does. And he'll look for all the little things, all the little quirks and features about that quarterback's motions that would indicate to them just exactly what he's going to do next. Maybe kind of tip off to them, okay, I know this is a running play because the quarterback will do a certain thing. They anticipate. They're ready at all times because they know exactly what he's going to do and they study it. Here, Jesus talks about anticipating the master's return. He says, be like men who are waiting for their master to come home from the wedding feast so that they may open the door to him at once when he comes and knocks. I saw an interesting logo the other day that I hadn't seen for a long time. Some of you who've been around a while may remember this. The old RCA logo had the picture of a dog sitting in front of, I guess you'd call it a megaphone. It was like the speaker version of the old players where you wound it up and then you put the record on and it would play through this big megaphone. And, you know, the idea was the dog was sitting there, and I think the logo said something like his master's voice. And perhaps they were trying to say, you know, these are so good that that a dog can recognize his master's voice through the megaphone. But I thought, what a good image of listening and paying attention, of being alert to hear the master's voice. Here, in this case, they're probably hearing the master's footsteps before he gets to the door. Isn't it interesting how you can sort of recognize individuals' footsteps by the way they walk, the sound they make? Here you see a picture of men who are sitting here waiting for the master to come back from a wedding feast. They are anticipating exactly what's going to happen. And he portrays the men in this model as those who are attuned to and alert for his return. They're keeping watch. They can open the door for him as soon as he gets in. Ironically, what happens here is when they let him in the house, he ends up serving them. And Jesus kind of says this here, I think, in a way, this is not the usual arrangement of a household, is it? Because when the master comes back, the master normally expects the servants to take care of him. He comes back from the particular place where he's at, and he ends up serving the servants, and he rewards them. There's an anticipation here, perhaps, of us getting a reward for our anticipation, for our readiness. That when the master comes, he's got his reward with him. But he has another image of anticipation here, kind of a negative one, and that's anticipating a thief. It's kind of a different sort of anticipation, isn't it? Waiting for your master to come back, waiting for the boss to come back, is a little bit different than waiting for the thief to come in the house. It's a whole different kind of anticipation and readiness. Maybe it's a more heightened awareness because we know there's danger involved. You remember we read the passage just a moment ago from 1 Peter about 1 Peter telling us to be humble and be alert, be watchful. He says, because the devil prowls around like a roaring lion seeking for someone to devour. That's a whole different kind of anticipation, isn't it? You're aware because you're really in danger. You're aware and perhaps all your adrenaline is beginning to pump through you because you know you better be ready for when that Satan, for when the lion comes, or in this case, when the thief comes. It's kind of even more a more heightened awareness, perhaps. You're afraid for your life. You're afraid that danger is going to somehow get in the way or hurt you. The degree of uncertainty and the degree of danger here requires and expects even more of us. And Jesus says, you know what? I'm going to be like that thief. You're not going to know when I'm coming back. And you better be ready for me. Because I will come at a time you do not know. If you knew when the thief was coming, you'd be sitting there waiting for him, wouldn't you? Of course. You'd have all the resources at your disposal as well to take care of the situation. But he says, you know, don't be like the foolish rich man we talked about a few weeks ago who wasn't ready for the Lord to come back, who wasn't ready for the Lord to call him home. He says, be ready and anticipate. And then Jesus actually responds to a question here. In verse 41, Peter says, Lord, are you telling this parable for us or for all? You know, who are you talking to here? Are we all supposed to be ready, or is this just us disciples? Or, you know, what are you saying here? Jesus provides another picture of the faithful and wise manager here. And he shows this picture, he gives this picture by demonstrating him doing certain things and not doing other things. The faithful manager does one thing. He provides for others. Maybe two things. He does good and not evil. He is, in fact, the faithful and wise manager who takes what has been given to him and uses it properly. There's a certain integrity and trustworthiness about this. One of the enduring images that I get out of this, out of the Old Testament, is Joseph in Potiphar's house when he's sent to be a slave and he becomes a slave in Potiphar's house. Well, guess what? He doesn't get mad. He doesn't get angry because his brothers have sent him there. He may feel some of that, feel a little frustration, but he gets in the house and he goes, well, you know what? I've been taught to do things right. And when he's a servant in Potiphar's house, guess what Potiphar sees? Man, I can trust this guy. So he puts everything under Joseph's control. He's faithful. The stuff is not his. It belongs to somebody else. He doesn't steal it. He uses it properly. And I'm sure when Potiphar comes in the house, he's got everything in order to take care of it. He practices good stewardship over what is entrusted to him. Integrity and prudence characterize his actions. Not only does the person that Jesus described here care for the master's goods, but he cares for all the other servants as well. Because he is trustworthy, Jesus says in verse 44, he'll be even given more at some point. Maybe that's the reward when Jesus comes back. When the master comes back, he gets even more because he's done well with what he has. As opposed to the unfaithful manager, who seems to care only for his own pleasures. He does not care for others. He abuses the other servants. He indulges his appetites. His punishment is severe. Did you hear that phrase in there? He will cut him into pieces. Yeesh. I don't know about you, that kind of makes me cringe a little bit to hear that kind of language. He will cut him into pieces. He's not been faithful. He will be put where he belongs, with the unfaithful. He's simply not done what was expected of him. And Jesus says in this parable that those to whom much is given, much is required. So much is expected of those to whom much is given. More is demanded from the one to whom much is entrusted. And can we say here we dare not betray the sacred trust of whatever God has given us? No matter what happens, no matter how bad the rain keeps us from seeing and hearing, we still have to be ready at our post, doing the will of God, treating the other servants properly, treating God's things properly, whatever's been entrusted to us. We have a sacred trust in our spiritual lives. So I would simply conclude with what Jesus himself says. Stay dressed for action. And keep your lamps burning, and be like men who are waiting for their master to come home. Such is Jesus' counsel to his disciples. And if that's not sufficient enough, think again back to Ephesians chapter 6, where Paul once again describes the armor that we are given to help us in this fight against evil. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 15, Paul says, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. There's an interesting thought for you. Every time you put on your shoes, dare I say for the rest of your life, remember, it's like being ready. It's like spiritually being ready. Paul says, you know, put on your shoes, you're ready for your journey. You're ready for the master to come home. You have some shoes that are, in fact, readiness. It's part of your armor. Part of what you're given. It's part of what you are called to do. The midnight watch can be a lonely one. Don't let the loneliness, don't let the difficulty defeat you. Keep watch. Jesus is coming soon. Reagan, let's stand and sing.